peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word before us this morning as we continue our series on the power of prayer is from the book of 2 Kings. We'll be reading from chapter 19, verses 14 through 19 in the Pew Bible on page 385. 2 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 14, Pew Bible page 385. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the word Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. These are God's words before us today, and let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If I get too far from the mic and you can't hear me, just raise your hand and I'll move back to the mic here on the lectern. The pastor of a church was once concerned that his members were displaying a hypocritical spirit. So one Sunday morning, he told them, I have an assignment for you. I want you during the next week to read through the book of Hezekiah. Next Sunday came, and the pastor asked for a show of hands how many of the folks there had followed through on what he said, and a whole slew of hands flew up into the air. With a frown on his face and disdain in his voice, he then said to them, there is no book of Hezekiah in the Bible. Hezekiah is an Old Testament king whom we find at the heart and center of our account today. As we hear Hezekiah offering up his prayer to the Lord, keeping in mind that we're looking at the power of prayer, using as our guide the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, we today hear Hezekiah take this prayer to God. Listen to these insults. Hezekiah was the 13th king of the southern kingdom of Judah. He ruled about 700 BC and was a sincere believer in the Lord God. God himself describes Hezekiah this way. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. You know, what makes this description of Hezekiah so striking is that he didn't learn any of these things from his father. This is how God describes Hezekiah's dad, Ahaz. He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He sacrificed his own son in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. It's almost as if Ahaz is the poster child for gross idolatry, and Hezekiah the poster child for exemplary faithfulness. The contrast between dad and son is that great. Hezekiah destroyed the idol shrines that his father had erected in the hills. Hezekiah tore down the wooden poles that didn't only glorify but deified sexual perversion. Hezekiah repaired the temple and put back into it all the furnishings that had been removed during his father Ahaz's rule. And most important, Hezekiah reinstituted the worship of the true God, especially the observance of the Passover. Once, when Hezekiah was extremely ill, basically lying on his deathbed, he showed his trust and reliance in the Lord, and God added 15 years to his life. Today, despite exposing a sinful streak of fear and worry, which causes him to act unwisely when besieged by wicked King Sennacherib from the Assyrians up north, we see him wisely taking his concerns to the Lord in prayer. 6 years into Hezekiah's rule, in 722 BC, the 10 northern tribes of Israel were captured by the Assyrians and hauled off into captivity, never to be heard from again. 8 years later, King Sennacherib attacks the 2 southern tribes of Judah and is poised to decimate the city of Jerusalem. In a moment of weakness, to protect his beloved city and to save his people, Hezekiah offers to pay tribute to King Sennacherib. Sennacherib isn't shy and demands 11 tons of silver and a ton of gold from the temple treasury. Sadly, Hezekiah chooses to deplete the treasury of this amount, which makes me wonder how often we do the same thing with our offerings. That we take thank offerings that should be given to the Lord and use them for our own personal pleasure. God says in Malachi, "Will a mortal man rob God? Yet you rob me." But you ask, "How are we robbing you?" In tithes and offerings. "You are under a curse because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse." We rob God when we don't bring to him the thank offerings he deserves. Sennacherib doesn't care where the money comes from. And because he is a man who is not faithful, he isn't credible, even though Hezekiah pays him this outstanding amount, he moves forward with his plan to take Jerusalem. As part of his tactics, Sennacherib instructs his field commanders to ridicule Hezekiah and the people of Judah with words that are full of arrogance and blasphemy. He tells them that it would be foolish to trust in King Hezekiah, and just as foolish to consider making an alliance with some foreign power, in this case, Egypt. Through these messengers, Sennacherib suggests that even if the Assyrians were to provide all the horses necessary, Hezekiah couldn't provide enough horsemen to ride on them, and that one single squadron of Assyrian soldiers would be easily able to overtake the entire army of Judah. Insult follows after insult, culminating with the blasphemous accusation that not even the God of Judah can save his people from the Assyrian army. And if that weren't enough, Sennacherib drafts a letter to Hezekiah and the people of Judah against God. In this letter, they spoke about the God of Jerusalem as they did about the gods of the other peoples of the world, the work of human hands. This is the letter that leads Hezekiah to offer the prayer that we read in our text today. But before Hezekiah gets around to offering up this prayer to God, he does a number of things. First, he tears his clothes and puts on sackcloth, clear signs of sorrow and repentance for himself and for the sins of the people. Then he goes up to the temple, his church, his house of worship. Then he sends a message to Isaiah, the prophet, to let him know what's going on. It's only then that Hezekiah takes this blasphemous letter, and I love these words, spreads it out before the Lord. And again, this is Hezekiah's prayer. Let's pray it together. Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kings of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. What a prayer! What eloquence! What confidence! This is a prayer that God cannot refuse to answer. And God does answer. His answer comes through the prophet Isaiah, who says, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard, those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen, I will have him cut down with the sword. And Isaiah further predicts, he will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. And do you know how God's promise through Isaiah was fulfilled? That same night, no less than 185,000 soldiers of this mighty army of King Sennacherib of Assyria from the north were put to death by the angel of the Lord. In the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation. In one of Martin Luther's favorite questions, he asks, what does this mean? And then he goes on to say, God surely tempts no one to sin, but we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us or lead us into false belief, despair, and other great and shameful sins. And though we are tempted by them, we pray that we may overcome and win the victory. As I told you as I introduced today's service, when we pray this petition, we're asking God for two things. Keep temptations away from us, if that is your will. And number two, if you choose to let them come, and give us the power to withstand and overcome them. Hezekiah was faced with a number of temptations, wasn't he? In regard to the tribute money that King Sennacherib demanded, he was tempted to compromise and pay Sennacherib off. He thought that by doing so, the problem would simply go away. Sadly, whenever we compromise in regard to temptation, we're giving to the devil what belongs to God. When we don't spend time in prayer, we're giving the time that belongs to God to Satan. When we don't give God the thank offerings he deserves, we're giving the money that belongs to God to Satan. When we engage in any kind of sexual impurity, we're giving the minds and bodies that belong to God to Satan. When we allow our temper to flare and use it to hurt and harm others, we're using the vengeance that belongs to God to Satan. Whenever we compromise in regard to temptation, we're giving to Satan what belongs to God. When it comes to the verbal and written insults that Hezekiah and the people of Judah had to endure, Hezekiah surely was tempted to give up and throw in the towel. After all, isn't what the field generals of King Sennacherib said true? From all outward appearances, the case of Judah was a lost cause. However, Hezekiah spread it out before the Lord. In Hezekiah's mind, it was not a lost cause. And God heard his prayer and answered it in a most spectacular and resounding way, didn't he? The devil doesn't have to write letters of insult to us today, does he? In so many ways, and using so many of what I call the siren songs of society, he repeatedly asks us, can God really get you through this situation? Is your faith really strong enough to get you out of this problem? Can't you see that you're going down, and you're going down fast? Show me where God has helped you in the past. If you can't show me that, how can you be sure he's going to help you in the future? And the list goes on and on. May Hezekiah serve as a model for us today. While Hezekiah had his moments of weakness, he was fearful, he was afraid, he worried, he doubted, he did not despair. This king, whose faith was unlike any other king, took the matter to God in prayer. He spread it out before the Lord. And the Lord heard his humble prayer of faith, didn't he? And he answered it by bringing to death King Sennacherib with the sword. God made good on his promise. And God promises to hear our humble prayers of faith. When we go to God, calling out to him for help, when we ask God for comfort in our sorrow, when we go to God's word looking for direction and guidance, when we long to hear words of love and forgiveness and acceptance, God will never disappoint us. His promise is, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. And God always keeps his promises. And just as the angel of the Lord won a resounding victory over blasphemous King Sennacherib, so has the Lord Jesus won a resounding victory over slanderous Satan. By his perfect life, more than once putting up with the temptations of Satan, in 40 days in the wilderness in the Garden of Gethsemane, by his atoning death on the cross, and by his grand and glorious resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday. As the Apostle Paul so powerfully reminds us, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. With God at our side, We can stand shoulder to shoulder as brothers and sisters in Christ, responding to all the insults of our enemies, and sing, "Satan, I defy thee. Death, I now decry thee. Fear, I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me, nor thy threats alarm me while I sing of peace. God's great power guards every hour. Earth and all its depths adore him. Silent, bow before him." Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.